But Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says this in verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I got studying this week about leaven and the different aspects of it and where God used this term in the Bible. And so this may be a little more teaching tonight than preaching. That'll be fine. But I want to look at the different aspects of leaven and what it is and how we need to make sure it's out of our life in every aspect, because it's something that God always mentions in a negative light. It's just like Egypt. Every time Egypt is mentioned in your Bible, it's negative. Okay, that's why we reject the Alexandrian manuscripts that came out of Egypt, right? Because it's all worldly wisdom. There's no godly wisdom there. And so tonight we'll see this about leaven. And, you know, it fits. How many of you had nice, fluffy rolls for Thanksgiving? Oh, man, weren't they good? I'll tell you what, Miss Heather made Miss Mildred's recipe rolls yesterday. They were wonderful. And but, you know, there's leaven in that. There's something in there that makes it ferment and rise. And that's what that yeast is, makes that bread rise. And it's all fluffy and good and warms our heart as it goes down, right? But leaven in our spiritual life is a bad thing. It's a very negative thing. And so we'll get started tonight. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for the day you've given us. Father, thank you for this church. Lord, it's an honor to be the pastor here and be able to open the Bible and try to teach your people the Word of God. And I pray that you'd help me tonight. Lord, please put your power upon me. I don't want to do this in the power of my own flesh. Lord, it won't get anything accomplished. I pray we do it through your power tonight, that you would help me to have acceptable words. And Lord, that it would fall upon receptive hearts. Help us to put all the cares of this life out of our minds and our hearts for the next few moments, and to focus, Lord, on what you have to say about leaven. I pray, Lord, our hearts would be open and receptive to your Word, and that we'd be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And Lord, help us to examine ourselves. Lord, let your Word be that mirror and that light that shines into our heart and into our lives. And Lord, I pray, as we saw there a couple Wednesday nights ago, Lord, we wouldn't have any secret place that has anything forbidden in it, but Lord, that our lives would be as clean as they can be and as pure as they can be for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I said it's a familiar concept that can be applied really to many areas of life. We're going to see what the Bible specifically talks about. But the preemptive comments tonight, and I'm doing this on purpose, is to set the stage for our conversation about music, okay, and our series on music. Because if we're not careful, the world's tendencies begin to creep into the church's music, and all of a sudden, a little leaven is going to leaven the whole lump. Okay, and we want to guard against that here. And you say, well, why are we being so careful about these kinds of things? Well, I think you would agree with me that tonight we have a pure and holy God. And our pure and holy God likes purity and holiness. That's what pleases him. And therefore, as his children, he expects you and I to have purity and holiness in our lives. Do you agree? Few of you do. Okay, all right. Well, we'll go to 1 John chapter 3, and I'll convince the rest of you out of the Word of God. 1 John chapter 3. The Bible says this in verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I appreciated the children singing out of 1 John 4 this morning. It's also a song. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. If you're the son of God tonight, say amen. Amen. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. What a great Bible verse that is, and a truth that is. So if you're a son of God, if you're born again tonight, this is written to us. It says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a great day that's going to be. The trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And these vile bodies are going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and these corruptible bodies are going to put on incorruption, these mortal bodies are going to put on immortality, and thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great day that's going to be. That's what John's talking about right here. He said it doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but we know when we see him, we're going to be just like Him. These old sinful bodies are going to be perfected and fashioned like unto His glorious body, Philippians 3:21 says. I'm looking forward to that day. How about you? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. It says in verse 3, though, and every man that hath this hope in him. You have that hope in you, you'll see Jesus one day. The Bible says every man that hath this hope in him does what? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know, the return of Jesus Christ ought to be so at the forefront of our minds that every day we wake up and when we're tempted to sin, when that lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life begins to pull at our old man, to pull at that carnal man, we ought to think in our minds, you know what? If I commit that sin, Jesus just might come back. That's true, you know. He could come back right then. Boy, wouldn't that be a shame? Whew, I'd hate to be ascending out of here with something weird happening, wouldn't you? I know our bodies will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Thank God for that. But that ought to be at the forefront of our mind. And the Bible says that if we have the hope in us that Jesus is going to come back at any moment, that we will purify ourselves even as He is pure. Now look over at 2 Peter chapter 3. God not only expects us, once we're saved, to live a pure life and a holy life, a life that's acceptable in His sight. 2 Peter chapter 3, where does that begin? We've said time and time again around here that the battleground of our spiritual life is between our ears, it's in our mind. And so here in 2 Peter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I think the Holy Ghost of God is able to work in someone that has a pure mind, not a defiled mind. You know, you can be born again tonight and have a defiled mind. Amen. You can have a perverted mind. You can be saved on your way to heaven when the trumpet sounds, you'll meet Jesus in the air, and your mind be full of filth and garbage and carnality. It can happen to any one of us, myself included, in this room. That's why God said, if you think Jesus is coming back, if you've got that hope in you, you better purify yourselves. In the first place, it's got to start between our ears and our mind. Because the Bible says that the Word of God will stir up that pure mind by way of remembrance. I'm afraid many times we don't get stirred up like we ought to because we don't have the mind that's pure like it ought to be. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 22, the Bible says this, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. When we're born again, the moment we're born again, that soul is purified. But there's an expectation that we will love the brethren and that we'll love the local church. And it says there that we'll love one another with a pure heart. How? Fervently. The Bible talks about we ought to prefer one another in love and in honor. You ought to prefer the folks of Spring City Baptist Church above anybody else. Man. That pure heart fervently. And then 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll work our way backwards here. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Just looking at a few places tonight where God expects purity in His children's lives, in the mind and the heart. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. Of course, this is concerning ordination. The Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. That doesn't mean that you can, if they make you mad, you can lay hands suddenly on them. That's not what He's talking about. Amen. We'd like to lay hands suddenly on some men sometimes. But He's talking about in the church, before an ordination is to happen, that man's to be proven, right? We understand that. And it says here, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Here's what He says, keep thyself pure. Of course, it's important for the pastor to stay pure. It's just important for the church member to stay pure. And so here we see God expects purity in His people. He expects purity in His children. That's what makes Him happy. That's what pleases Him. And so as we look into leaven tonight, turn over to Exodus chapter 12 where we'll get started. Leaven is the exact opposite of purity. Okay, now we're going to talk about leavened bread and unleavened bread here in just a minute. But that word leaven simply means anything which corrupts. Okay, anything which corrupts. And it's interesting that one of the definitions of leaven is fermentation. Fermentation. So that yeast process that is in our dough, that yeast ferments and it gives off that gas, and that's what raises or rises that bread and allows that bread to get up nice and fluffy and delicious. And so I would just say this by way of passing tonight, if God is against leaven in bread, certainly He's against leaven in drink. Right? If that's the definition, fermentation, then God has to be against that in drink as well as in bread. Is that okay tonight? Can I say that and just we can move right along? Okay. All right. Leviticus 12. Exodus 12. I'm in Leviticus 12. You are in Exodus 12, I hope. All right. Exodus chapter 12. We know this passage is talking about the Passover, right? The children of Israel leaving Egypt and God telling them to put the blood over the doorpost. And oh, what a beautiful picture this is of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, the pure Lamb of God's whose blood was shed for our sins. And by the way, Jesus is pure. His blood's pure. There's no fermentation there. There's no leaven there. There's no leaven in that sacrifice. Amen. No impurity there. In Exodus 12, verse 15, the Lord told him this, 7 days shall you eat the unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven. Look where it says, out of your what? God said, don't even have it in your house. He said, get that stuff out of there. And He says, you should put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day to the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Look down at verse 19. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. So God's telling them, He's saying, look, you're going to eat this sacrifice, you're going to eat this feast, and I don't want your bread to have leaven in it. And by the way, just so you're not tempted with it, why don't you just go ahead and throw it out of your house into the street out there? God is very sensitive about this. And with the Passover being the picture of our redemption in Jesus Christ, obviously there was no leaven in Christ. The Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And because of the definition of leaven being impurity or fermentation or that which corrupts, we liken leaven every time to sin in our lives. Okay? Now look over to Amos chapter 4. So in Leviticus, we're not going to look at those verses, but in Leviticus, God's going to tell them, I don't want you to sacrifice with any leaven. Okay, Amos, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Right, Amos chapter 4. I think God's got a really good sense of humor. Amos chapter 4 is God's sense of humor coming out. Sometimes God speaks to man in a very sarcastic tone to try to get man to think about what he's doing. Amos chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by His holiness, that lo, the day shall come upon you that He will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. And you shall go out at the breaches every cow at that which is before her. And you shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Now verse 4. Come to Bethel, that's where they did the sacrifices, and transgress. You see the sarcasm here? God's not telling them to come and transgress, but He's going to tell them what they're doing in His eyes in hopes that they will pay attention and realize what they're doing is not going to work with God. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal. Look what He says. Multiply transgression. Well, obviously God doesn't want that, but He is using this sarcasm to try to get a hold of their heart. It'd be like Him coming coming to you and I and saying, hey, why don't you come to church at Spring City and sleep the whole time? And obviously, he doesn't want you to do that. So he's trying to get our attention. Hey, why don't you come to church and gossip about other church members? Right? Obviously, he doesn't want us to do that. He's just trying to get them to understand that the way they're operating is absolutely unacceptable. And he says, and bring, middle of verse 4, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after how long? I think it was supposed to happen a little more often than that, don't you? And he says in verse 5, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Hey, how many of us were thankful for at Thanksgiving? Everybody in the room was, right? And we had prayers, and we spoke to the Lord from our heart. We probably even sang some songs along the way of thanksgiving, right? Hebrews 13 talks about that sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto His name. Boy, that's a great thing to do. That's a good sacrifice, amen? But he says here, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with what? With leaven. Well, obviously, listen, God doesn't want them to do that, but that's what they're doing. Their sacrifices are impure. Sure, they're bringing the tithe every now and then. Sure, they're doing what God said to do, sort of. And he says here, and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And he goes on to say, verse 6, he says, I've given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread. In other words, there's a famine. God said, you're not obeying me. It's like we talked about this morning. He said, you're not obeying me, so I'm going to chastise you. But I think it's interesting if you go back, this is just a passing thought, go back in verses 1 down through verse 4, verse 3, the children of Israel are always called what animal? They're always sheep. What's he call them in there? He calls them cows. You know what a sheep does? A sheep follows a shepherd. You know what cows do? Push the fence down and go wherever they want to go. And he's saying, you guys are just like a bunch of cows. Well, that's an insult. But they needed it. And so here, listen, God, all I want you to see is God is sarcastically speaking to Israel because there was no sincerity in their life. There was no sanctification in their life. There was no real commitment to what God wanted them to do. Sure, they were doing it every now and then, but they weren't doing it with the consistency God wanted them to. And he said, why don't you just come over here and offer a thanksgiving, a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven? Boy, I wonder about our lives. How sincere are we? How sanctified and pure are we? How committed are we to the things of God? Not just every now and then, not just enough to keep the preacher off our back, but every single day consistently with God. Or are we letting some leaven kind of creep in there? And as we saw this morning, take some of the things that belong to God and ruin and ferment, if you will, or make impure the pure things of our life. First Chronicles chapter 16. You don't have to turn. If you're taking notes, you can just write these down. First Chronicles 16, verse 29, Psalm 29, verse 2, and Psalm 96, verse 9, the three places in your Bible, the Bible says to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I think it's a great thing to come to church and worship God. But if we come in here with a bunch of leaven in our lives, He doesn't get any glory out of that. If we come in here and our minds are not pure, and there's leaven, there's impurity in there, He doesn't get the worship that He deserves. If we come in here and in our heart, there's leaven, it's not pure like it ought to be. We don't have that pure heart like He talked about in 2 Peter. But we come in, our heart's got some leaven in there. We'll see what it is here in a minute. The Bible talks about, I don't believe God gets the glory He ought to get. We come in and there's leaven in our lives. It's not as pure as it ought to be for God. We cannot worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And He deserves that. He deserves that. All right, Galatians, back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look, that is why we strive, and that's why we're going to do this thing on music, just so we make sure that we're not getting any leaven in the worship of a holy God around here. We want to keep the leaven out of every part of our life. We want to keep the impurity out of every part of our life so that our lives and the sacrifice of our lives is acceptable in His sight. Galatians 5, you know that the theme of Galatians as a book is dealing with the law versus grace and justification thereby. And the Galatians, no doubt, had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. But they had some people there that were teaching them, in order to be justified and maybe even in order to keep that salvation, they had to do the works of the law. And so Paul writes this epistle back to them to set things straight. And all throughout this, it's made very clear. But if you look at Galatians 5 and verse 1, quoted this verse this morning, but it says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised," look what he says, "Christ shall profit you nothing." Now we believe Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We believe that. What Paul is telling them in a nutshell is this. He's going to get down to the famous verse in verse 9. But he says this, listen, you are saved by grace. But if you add the law to that, it leavens the grace. Does that make sense? He says in verse 3, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ," look what he says, "is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law." He says, if you're going to be justified by law, you've got to keep every part of it. And James 2:10 says, if a man is guilty in one point, he's guilty of all of it. So to add any of the law keeping into justification leavens the grace. Okay? That's all he's saying through this. He says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? But faith which worketh by love." Verse 7, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." In other words, Paul said, "I didn't tell you that." And he told him over at the very first part of the book, "If any man comes to you and preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed." Right? So anything that's added to the grace of God for the justification of a man's soul leavens or pollutes, if you will, that grace. That's why we stand so hard against water baptismal regeneration. Right? Because it's adding something to the faith of Jesus Christ. That's why we stand so hard against the work salvation. Right? Because it's adding to the grace of God and it's polluting that grace that bringeth salvation, which has appeared unto all men. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. But if you have anything other than grace, you've polluted the grace. The cross of Christ has become of none effect. And it says there at the end of verse 2, boy, what a sad statement. Christ shall profit them nothing. That's a sad thing. And he goes on to say there in verse 10, or verse 9, he says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's all Paul's teaching. He said, you're not going to get to heaven any other way than by the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to make one more quick point. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because as human beings, we get tweaked a little bit sometimes. 1 Let me ask you a question here tonight. Can anybody in this room that understands and is born again, that understands the Bible, can any person in this room give out the gospel witness of Jesus Christ? Yes. Can anybody hear the gospel witness from anyone in this room and decide to be born again? Yes, repent of their sins and trust Jesus. Absolutely. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and the Bible says this in verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It says, so then, neither is he that planteth, what's the next two words? Anything. Neither he that watereth, and again, it's repeated, so we understand, but God that giveth the increase. So just as men in Galatians would add, well, you've got to do this, this, and this in the law in order to be saved by grace, I'm afraid many times in our present day especially, we say, well, you've got to hear the preaching of this man before you'll get saved. And I'm telling you, that is outright heresy. The Bible just said that if you plant and if you water, which is all he's asked us to do, that we are all nothing. Did a lot of people get saved at Billy Graham Crusades? Yeah. But the person walking in to that tent could have given them the same gospel Billy Graham gave them. It wasn't Billy Graham that saved those people. It was God. And you got to remember that. Okay? Because if it's anything other than the grace of God, it's leavened. Okay? So just watch that. All right? All right. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. You're there in 1 Corinthians. Go to chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And it's a pretty short chapter, so let's read the whole chapter. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. The Bible says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Well, you talk about some leaven in a church. He says, and you're puffed up. Isn't that interesting how God uses the phrases in the Bible? Because what does leaven do to bread? It puffs it up. Yeah, that'll preach. You're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. God expects this church to be a pure church. He expects his church on the face of this earth to be pure and holy and peculiar and set apart from sinners, free from the admixture of the world. Right? That's what God expects. For verily, verse 3, for I verily as absent in body but present in spirit have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? He says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover, see there's a reference back to Exodus 12, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, because he was pure, therefore let us be pure. Let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So obviously in our homes, in our lives, in our personal hearts, and then obviously because the church is made up of individuals, if there's leaven in the heart of a person that comes in here, there's leaven in the church. Right? It's just like Achan when he took that thing and he hid it in the ground. The Bible says that there was sin in the camp and it just took one man. But here the Lord says, verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous. Or an idolater. That means a man that puts anything before God. Who would come to church? Or a railer? Or a drunkard? Or an extortioner, he says, with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Look what he says. Do you not judge them that are within? He said, hey, church, why are you letting this stuff go on? He said, hey, church, either get it right or get those people out of that congregation, because that leaven is leavening the whole lump. In verse 13, he says, but them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. We know in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you look over at verse 18 real quick, two simple words, flee fornication. This will be a personal appeal to every one of us tonight to keep our hearts and our minds that are supposed to be pure, to keep them clean and free from fornication. I'm telling you, that's hard to do in this wicked world that we live in today. We live in the midst of a perverse nation. So what's fornication? Well, due to the mixed company tonight, we will temper the definitions just a bit. Fornication is lewdness of unmarried people. There's a lot of that going on today. One of the kids in Tater class said, hey, Tater man, do you know the divorce rate's going down in America? I said, yeah, you know why? Uh-uh. I said, people aren't getting married like they used to. Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. Divorce rate in Europe is way less than what it is in America. Why? Because nobody gets married anymore. They're living in a fornicating lifestyle. Okay, amen. Okay. What is fornication? It's also the incontinence of the married, also known as adultery. Pure minds and pure hearts. I'm telling you, you can't, Brent preached this 25 years ago, you can't walk through the checkout line at Food City without being defiled. It's wickedness. And now with the internet and all of the filth that's out there readily available at the click of a mouse, are you kidding me? Christian, you and I have to be so careful to guard our eyes and guard our ears so that the mind and the heart remain pure before God and don't get leavened with all that disgusting perversion that's out there. Have mercy. Parents, when you go shopping, keep your hands on your kids. You don't know what wickedness is walking around out there. It's a sick world, man. And now we're so desensitized to sodomy in this country, whenever you see it, wherever, you just sort of, well, it's just normal. It makes me sick. There's no place for that. What happened? Leaven got mixed in. And the lump got leavened. And then lastly, fornication, thirdly, is likened unto spiritual idolatry. And we'll look at that here in just a minute. But I just want to remind you, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, Jesus Christ said this. He said, if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You see how sensitive God is to that purity? He said, I don't even want it going through your mind. I want your mind pure. Not leavened. Now look at Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19 and verse 1, talking about spiritual idolatry now, which the children of Israel committed against God. It says in verse 1, after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of the servants at her hand. That's talking in a spiritual sense. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. This great whore is the mixing of Judaism and paganism. It's the admixture of worshiping other gods along with the God of heaven. It's the same basis as Catholicism today. It's the same basis as Hinduism today. All of that is part of the great whore. And God said that the world has committed spiritual fornication with that great whore. And He said, one day I'm going to judge that mess. Because I gave you a pure religion, I gave you a pure law, and you defiled it, you leavened it. Okay, now go over to Matthew 13. There's a little teaching point tonight, Matthew 13. You got to be real careful when you teach and preach out of Matthew 13, Matthew 24, Matthew 25. Because those passages do not concern the church, the New Testament church. We know Matthew is the book that sets forth Jesus as the King of the Jews, right? It's very Jewish in nature. And in Matthew, you have the only mentions of the kingdom of heaven, the physical, earthly, literal kingdom. And so in Matthew 13, you have these parables that are talking about the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And so we have to remember that they're Jewish. Okay, in verse 33, Matthew 13, 33. Now remember what I just said about the great whore. Okay. And another parable spake he unto them, this Jesus is speaking, the kingdom of heaven, physical, literal kingdom, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took. Nothing in your Bible by happenstance. Which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. What did Jesus Christ do when he came to walk upon this earth? He offered to the Jewish nation the kingdom of heaven, right? And they rejected it. It's, the Bible says that he came into his own, and his own what? Received him not. Why? Because that nation had been so leavened by that great whore and that mixing of Judaism and paganism that started all the way back in Judges chapter 17. And so when Jesus shows up on the scene, there's not a pure nation there anymore. It's mixed. Remember when he told him to go in there and cast out all the ites in the promised land? And he said, don't you marry into those Gentile nations because it will pollute the royal seed. What'd they do? They went in there and married the Gentile nations and it got polluted. It got leavened. And so when Jesus showed up, the strict teaching of Matthew 13:33 is he offered them that physical, literal kingdom, but it had already been polluted by the great whore. Now go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 20. Luke 13 verse 20. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now the kingdom of God, we know and understand, is not the physical literal kingdom. It's the spiritual kingdom of which you and I tonight spiritually belong to by our spiritual baptism by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. So you say, well, which one is it, Pastor? It's both. The physical literal kingdom was polluted by that paganism, by that great whore. And you know what? The spiritual kingdom has been polluted by that great whore because of that spiritual fornication that's been added into so much of what happens in our churches and worship of God today. What a mess. What a mess. All right, now, Matthew 16 and Luke 12. Matthew chapter 16, Luke chapter 12. We've seen leaven tonight concerning sacrifices. We've seen leaven tonight concerning grace and salvation. We've seen leaven tonight concerning the church and the spiritual fornication many times that occurs within the church. Matthew 16, verse 5. The Bible says, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Now this is right on the heels of Jesus Christ feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Sometimes you just get comical with these disciples, don't we? Verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, Why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon one another and began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Matthew 23. We read one of these this morning, but just as in a closing tonight, we'll read down through here. This is the woe chapter that Jesus spake unto the scribes and Pharisees. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. What's the next word? Hypocrites. So let's see what kind of leaven these men had in their doctrine and pray to God that we don't have it in our lives. Matthew 23 and verse 1, the Bible says, Jesus spake unto the multitude of his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That's the law. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But watch what he says. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. That is the definition of a hypocrite, is it not? To say one thing and do another thing. That's leaven. That's impurity. Verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works, watch, they do for to be seen of men. These guys just doing what they're doing in the temple and in Judaism just for the praise of men. No heart for God. That's hypocrisy. That's leaven. And it says they made broad their phylacteries and enlarged the borders of their garments. It means they're fat. On the sacrifices that the people are bringing. And they're not thankful and they're not using those sacrifices the way they ought to. That's hypocrisy. That's leaven. And it says, verse 6, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. There's only one man deserved that, and he was Jesus Christ. No other man deserves that. That's kind of like it. I'm telling you what, just a little thing. If you do it, it's okay. I still love you. But that obituary, every time my name is mentioned, Reverend Nathan, I can't stand that. The Bible says that God's name is reverend, not mine. I am nothing special, man. But anyway, these guys, they liked that name. They wanted to be something that they really weren't. They were puffed up. They were leavened. And it says, verse 8, be not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. That's why the Catholic salutation is anti-biblical. Amen. 9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. All you master clubbers said. Yeah, amen. Right? But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself, leaven, shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, right, that pat on the back, make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Skip down, if you will, to verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. That sounds like what was going on in Amos's day, doesn't it? Oh, they were doing some things they were supposed to do, but they were also doing some things they had no business doing. And God said, you're a hypocrite. That's leavened what should be pure. And he says, these ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. Verse 24, you blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres. That's what we preached about this morning. Which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy. That's leaven and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. But you understand what he just said right there? He said, you guys are killing the prophets and you're killing the righteous people and you're bringing and putting flowers on their grave. That's messed up. That's hypocrisy. That's leaven. And say, if we had been the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, you be witness to yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, that's A to Z if you're taking notes, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Boy, God knows everything, doesn't he? Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I gather thee, gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. What is leaven? Leaven is hearing the pure words of God and saying in your heart and in my heart, no. That's leaven. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Those are not pretty pictures tonight. Those are not enjoyable things to talk about and preach about. But they're necessary that we would purge out, the Bible says, the leaven that is in our heart and in our minds, and our minds would be pure and our hearts would be pure so that we can serve God and worship God acceptably. Now, all of that sets the stage for what we're going to talk about in music. Okay, and over the next 4 weeks, with the Lord's help, we'll be able to do this, and I trust it'll be a help to you and it'll be a help in your spiritual life. Okay? All right, so let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the night you've given us.